As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Mayor John Hamilton, he always joins us, and here we are on a gorgeous day in the final days of September. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good to be with you again, Mike. I'm well, thank you.
Well, in the Midwest, we have tornadoes, and they pop up in severe thunderstorms, and sometimes a severe thunderstorm leads to a tornado, but not always. But boy, hurricane, you just watch it. Here it comes, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Oh my gosh, it's here. To see the state of Florida and the county governments just try to get declare disasters and emergencies and everything else that goes on with that. I mean, that's I guess that's the what price paradise, correct?
Well, you know, I heard my colleague, the mayor of Tampa, talking, and one thing that does strike me compared to even 10 or 40 years ago is just we get so much more information now about what's likely
Absolutely.
And what's going to happen. It's unbelievable in some ways how much detail we project, not always correctly, I know, but man, what a difference from when you just really didn't know what was coming. You know, that was a really different environment to work in.
And to share it and to help public safety go along with it, making people evacuate.
Right.
There's all kinds of things that, you know, sometimes we all don't want a lot of government in our life, but if it can save a tragedy or a catastrophe. You know why they call it a disaster, Mayor Hamilton? Because nothing goes well. So let's try to let's try to be smart there. And well, we had a situation last Tuesday when you joined us on the air here locally. We didn't have a ton of details at the time of what was happening below the streets of Bloomington. And
right.
As many times as we have talked about the underground river and the projects and the, you know, the getting rid of the 100-year pipes that were down, well, did
right.
you ever in your wildest dreams think that we'd have multiple organizations of law enforcement from all around the state here in town? And it wasn't a guided tour either. It was a manhunt, for lack of a better word. Well, give us the recap. I mean, I'm exhausted almost reliving this.
You know, that's right. It was just a week ago. The short answer is I didn't really contemplate that would be happening on that Tuesday. And it was a kind of ironic because the Hidden River Project, the big expansion, was just completed. I went and a week or two before that, and they kind of finished the sealing of that tunnel, and there's more work still to be done, but before too long we had a manhunt going, as you said. It was first thing, importantly, you know, it ended peacefully. No one hurt
in the fair
and the person taken into custody. I also, as you indicated, man, it was an extraordinary collaboration, and it's always important reminding people, hey, They look at disagreements here or there, but you know, when the rubber hits the road and when it's important, we work really, really well together. And the state police and the Ellettsville Fire and Ellettsville Utility and Bloomington Utility and Bloomington Fire and our police, of course, and so many people helped out. The Public Works Department and. It was really a process of trying to get this individual under control and protecting everybody from it. And in the end, through a lot of really hard work and good, smart work, they got the individual to a place where a canine unit that happened to be with the Indiana State Police, was able to subdue him and get him into custody safely and keep him from everybody. And you know, I guess he's brought into custody and had a two or three county spree a little bit that day, but we were really glad that was resolved safely. And I appreciated the city residents, you know, as we asked people to stay away to help the professionals do their work. We activated the critical incident response team for negotiators if they needed to be there, and it was all done well. So the long and the short of it, it happened. It was resolved safely. And the second thing I just note is it actually is a really good kind of exercise too, right? To we now have the people who can go back and what we do right, what would we do differently if this had gone a different way? Were we ready for this, ready for that? So it's a great training exercise too, in a way.
The other part of this is it's just, as you mentioned accurately, there were no injuries or – or casualties or weapons discharged or anything else. It was just bizarre. I don't have a better word than that. I didn't know you could get into the stormwater areas where he was at. Is that something you did you even?
Well, let's be sure you shouldn't get into them. They're dangerous, and you know people sometimes do really ill-considered things. Yeah,
I'm more of an above ground than an underground type fella. But is that something you close off, or did he find a way in that? You just that can happen, but this isn't something that's going to – I it's so bizarre. I'm having a hard time asking a decent question here.
Well, it's dangerous. It's a waterway. It's a conduit. You have to let the water flow through it. You can't shut it off or block it in a way that could cause damage. I assure you, if we blocked it in a way that – you know, rubbish and all blocked it, and then we'd had a flood, that would not be a very smart approach either.
Right.
So, we just have to depend upon people not doing really ill-considered things, and if they do, we got to get it fixed. But the 6th and Indiana entrance is going to get expanded, actually, next year to make sure that's kind of the last piece of the puzzle we've talked about for that hidden river. And, it was more than a mile of storm sewers under there that were available, and it's not a safe environment, and we hope nobody gets in there. They shouldn't.
Yeah, having the public works or the water department or whoever had all the plans for that, working with the police, with the IUPD. You're right. It was a great show of solidarity and working together to make sure that nothing silly happened.
Yeah, so we're glad that got resolved, and I'm glad today, this Tuesday, we don't have something like that, so far as I know, that I haven't heard of it yet.
Well, we're almost there. Let's not jinx this. Just
you know what it made me think of? I think the Ghostbusters movie is going to be played Saturday. You know, maybe you need a team that can get in with sewer busters or so. I don't know.
The joke was, when this was all happening, was, where are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Are they too old? Are they too? Do they not fit in the sewer anymore? This was their realm. This was their protectorate, and they did not do that.
Not Johnny on the spot.
No, they're eating the pizza or doing whatever. Yeah. The good news, we can laugh about it now because there wasn't any issues. But that was just a tough day. How did you from? And I know we talked a little bit about this last week. What the information that you're getting from the people on the street, how do we get that to the public while these things are going on? Or is that just something we don't want to do because of the law enforcement lives that are on the line? You kind of don't want to show them the game plan, do you?
Yeah, I mean, mostly you want to give public information appropriate for the situation, which in this circumstance was mainly don't come around these areas, right? Let us do our work, and so we get that information out through social media and the traditional media. And my job during this period is basically to help make sure our professionals have what they need, and if they need me to do anything, I do. But mostly, it's trying to keep aware of what's happening, and so that I can let the public know at the right time too. And then when it's all over, in this circumstance, the police report what happened, and we move on, and we'll do a lot of behind-the-scenes work to try to understand how it went and what we could do differently and what we learned from it. And, in the circumstance where you have a longer event that's taking place, then we need to make sure we get all the news out to all of you media at a regular way and in a reliable way, too. So we look forward to that. But this one got resolved before we had to go into a long-term plan like that.
And the good news is, for people that don't understand it, it's kind of, like you mentioned, it's interesting that you can do this exercise where people can learn a little bit more from it, whether it's from your side or the public side, where that's the reason why the information doesn't come out. Number one, you don't know if anybody's helping. You never know if it's just one guy. You never know or any of that. And it's you're too busy doing the police work, not doing the social media work. So leave that to us knuckleheads, and we'll help out with what we can do with that. The other thing, let's good job. I'm glad that was a boring finish, and we hope all of those can go on down the road. What else is making news? Well, we know if we're getting towards the end of September, budget hearings and things are going on. Every Tuesday, Mayor Hamilton joins us, and I ask for the timeline to remind us where we are in all of these great projects. And where are we with the 2023 budget?
Tomorrow, Wednesday night, will be the actual formal budget hearing. The budget has been published in the paper of record at least 10 days ahead, and September 28th will be the introduction of the formal budget. And then 2 weeks after that, we hope the budget will be adopted, October 12th, I think it is, Wednesday night. And I will go in front of the council tomorrow night and talk to them about any changes that have been made, not many. And we've had a bunch of questions back and forth, and I hope we'll be able to move through that pretty expeditiously. Again, it's really an important and transformative budget. It's bringing Bloomington to a new era with investments in the bus system and climate action plan and our public safety that we just talked about so much, investments in them and in affordable housing and economic equity and all kinds of stuff that's so important as we move forward. So I'm really pleased with the budget and hope we can get it locked down in the next couple weeks.
And while that goes on, I read the Bloomington City Council. Well, are new council districts coming? That's required after the census. Remind me on all of how that works. And they're doing this while the budget's going. How can they juggle all this at the same time? That's pretty good.
Yes, the new council districts do need to get put into place pretty quickly because the election's coming next year. Primary will be in May, so candidates can start filing in January. And we all want to know what those districts look like. And the Bloomington and Monroe County are the only jurisdictions in the state that actually created nonpartisan and non-elected commissions to write new boundaries, to draw new boundaries. And the county finished theirs, and the city council is looking at the maps right now. I hope and think they'll finish in a week or two to set the new boundaries. But they do, the ones that are in front of them do stir things up a little bit. They put a couple council members in each other's districts. I think there's two each that would be affected that way. But that's what our nonpartisan commission looked at, how to draw good new boundaries.
And when you mean a nonpartisan commission, on the surface, I know exactly what that means. But what it means is not the absence of political affiliation. It's just the absence of weighted political affiliation. Would that be the way to describe that?
Yeah, balanced, I think, is one way. But maybe more important is that it's people who are not representing incumbents or elected officials, but are really just working with a few principals. And it's a group of people who are meant to be kind of dispassionate or disinterested. Maybe nonpartisan is even not as good as probably disinterested and kind of objective, if they can be, to just try to draw lines that make sense based on neighborhoods, based on, you know, kind of major dividers and trying to get equal population in the six different districts. And I think they worked hard to do that. And it was a group of Republicans, Democrats. I think there were some students, IU students, purposefully put on there too.
And where I don't even know who to ask on this. I don't think anybody has jurisdiction, so to speak, but where should or shouldn't the students get a voice? Is that something that's been, is this a new theory, or is this something that's been kind of just kicked around over the years and it's getting some momentum? What is the theory about, well, if you don't live here all the time, you're kind of just part-time? I don't know.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy who got elected as a student 45 years ago or something, I think, and he said, you know, you run. If you're a student, you run. There's 40,000 more students in the area. It's a little tricky sometimes because you're running for a four-year term and not everybody's here kind of over a full four-year term, right?
Yeah.
Graduate students may be more often like that. But I think, you know, we have students active in politics in all kinds of ways, and I welcome and encourage students to run for office. We've had that's happened before. It'll happen again, no doubt. And these districts are there. I'm promised there are students living in every district. I'm personally not I don't know about creating one student district. That's a little odd to me.
Because that's kind of where I was going with that. Yes.
But you know, let's let the. I think the process worked fine, and they produced some rational districts, and we'll see how the city council moves forward with it.
Yeah, the one thing that rubs me strange about that is if you don't spend a whole year here, if you go home for 3 weeks at Christmas and you go for home for 3 months at summer and you're, I don't know, that doesn't rub me the right way. So
they'd have to persuade you to vote for them, I guess, then. But that's what democracy is, right?
We all don't have to agree. That's absolutely correct. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. The mayor joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05. And, last week we were tied into, the budget and everything that was happening on that Tuesday. We didn't spend any time talking about what's happening with the convention center. I haven't heard or seen anything. I think I talked to Eric Spoonmore 2 weeks ago. And it just seems like, at one point we were waiting for an appraisal for the property out at Fullerton Pike. At one point, we don't want to do a CIB, and then all of a sudden, everything went kind of quiet. Is there chatter? Is there communication? Are there meetings behind closed doors we don't know about?
You and I have talked about this a lot. I think an expanded and activated and modernized convention center is really important for the future of downtown, to have a thriving downtown. We have very busy weekends. We have not so busy Sunday to Thursday in terms of kind of the visitors to the city. And we have a lot of people who want to spend time in Bloomington for conventions, but we can't fit them. So I've been a proponent of this for a long time. I think we have partners in the county government who are less interested in it, some of them, and it's been a struggle to try to find a place to land, and I'm not sure we will in the short term. I'm confident in the long term we can figure something out. We've indicated to the county, we presented a formal offer, 6 weeks ago now, I think more, to suggest a path forward, and there's only been one meeting that's happened as a result of that, and it's been some weeks, and it's difficult to get more meetings, and that's a little frustrating from our side because we really want to move this forward, and we haven't had a formal response to our offer to move it forward. So we had kind of set October 5th as a deadline by which we felt we needed to have a deal, needed to have an understanding and a shared path forward, or else we have to kind of look at other alternative paths forward. You know, the food and beverage tax is being collected. I just got the data this morning that another month we set a new record. The food and beverage industry is doing well, and it's meant to pay for this project. So I think we're just going to have to, if we don't get a resolution in the next week, we're going to probably chart a path forward that we can figure out. And you and I can talk about that in the future maybe, but let's see what happens over the next week.
Well, you got to have something on the back burner, correct? I mean, if we, and again, I'm looking as an outsider, but an insider, because I get to talk to you and Marty Hawk and Deputy Mayor Don Griffin Jr. as well every week, but it's not that there's been a lack of activity or ideas. It's been there's been a lack of agreement on those ideas. So you got to keep a couple pots on the stove at all times. I understand that. The timeline is frightening in the sense that we keep hearing, at least Spoonmore tells me that you know what, if the state legislator sees all this money not going somewhere. Then you get the tax wiped out. Then where do you go? Is this a much a waiting game for that? Or we know you want to get it moving forward. What escalates this process if that's an option?
Well, first, I wish the state would leave us alone. I do think there is risk of what Eric Spoonmore described, and the state often likes to stick their fingers down into local government and tell us what we can or can't do with revenue, and I wish that weren't the case, but it is, I think. So we are sensitive to that. But look, we have revenue, and the city has dedicated all of our food and beverage tax revenue to this project. We're ready to move forward with it. The county doesn't seem as open to the approach and has some hesitation about it, and that's okay if they have a different view, because we do have to have different plans and thoughts about how to go forward, and we're talking to people about that. But let's take it a step at a time. But I do think we need to move forward expeditiously. It's been a many years of work on this, and a lot of people care a lot about it. And I think it's time we fish or cut bait, and we want to fish, but we'll have to see what comes from it.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. We talked last Tuesday about you getting down to the Lower Cascades, the oldest park in town, to get the ribbons cut and everything going. How did that go?
Oh, that was beautiful. And again, I encourage people to get down there. There's a 800-foot boardwalk taking you up to the namesake of Cascades, the little waterfall there. It depends what day it is, how big it is, but and then the new entry into the creek is just lovely. There's a couple of hundred feet of limestone kind of shelves that let you get down right into the creek. Kids love it. It's a really new way to access that, and it's a beautiful place. A great place to walk, to bike, to hike through the fall months as well. So check it out.
Excellent. We will do so. And Farmers Market still goes on, even though we're in fall. How long? It goes all the way to Thanksgiving,
through
doesn't
October.
It?
Through Thanksgiving, yeah. October full time, and then through
market.
Thanksgiving. Christmas Market then. It's a wonderful place. Farmers just keep selling different things every week. I was there last week.
Does it start at 9 o'clock now instead of 8, or did that already change?
I think that's right, Mike. I think that's right.
Well, it's just not,
I have
it's not
to confess
bright.
I don't go at 8 usually. So,
well, we know the sun's not always cooperating at that time either.
It was chilly Saturday, but by the time I got there, it was warming up. But I know it was chilly for the farmers Saturday morning.
Well, about 10 o'clock when the sun came out, though, it was very, very nice. That sunrise comes at 7:38, so 8 a.m. might be a little early for all of that. Have a great week, my friend. We enjoy the updates as always, and we will do it again next week.
Everybody have a good week. Take care, Mike.